Welcome to Cradles and Candles, a podcast where we explore the magic in every day. I'm your host, Elwyn Sage, and whether you're a parent, caregiver, or simply curious about your spiritual journey, this is a space to learn, reflect, and connect. So light a candle, take a breath, and let's step into magic together. So before we get deep into what I want to talk about, I did want to thank everyone for allowing me grace while pushing this podcast out a few days late. I have been quite ill the last week, and despite me wanting to record, my body and soul were just not up to it, which directly relates to this podcast, where sometimes your practice will wax and wane with the chaos of life, and sometimes the chaos of life will just bring you illness, which it did for me, and it paused my practice. And that's okay, because as I get better, my practice will also come back and get stronger with me. And that leads up to what this episode is going to be talking about, which is building rituals and routines that actually work in the chaos of real life. Life struggles can feel overwhelming at times, and walking a spiritual path can add its own unique challenges. So before I began weaving small bits of magic into my day through simple rituals and mindful practices, I often found it hard to even think about my own path. But discovering ways to blend magic into my everyday routines and the mundane work I did day in and day out has been a powerful way to make it feel natural, personal, and truly my own. So to start off today's discussion, I just wanted to talk about the energies of the moon that has recently happened. Now, it happened September 21st, so almost a week ago, alongside of Mabon. And I just wanted to talk about this new moon energy. Even though it's almost over, it's still important to recognize that this new moon is in Virgo, and it was also a partial solar eclipse. So you know it's going to be powerful, and this new moon is all about fresh beginnings. It's about healing and refining our lives. So let's talk about what that exactly means and how you can work with this energy. So Virgos are an earth sign. They are practical, detail-oriented, and deeply connected to health and service. This new moon encourages us to reflect on the areas of our lives we wish to improve, our habits, routines, health, and overall self-care. It's an ideal time to set grounding, realistic intentions while also letting go of what no longer serves us, which is a theme that aligns beautifully with Mabon's central lesson of release and renewal, which is why I still want to talk about the new moon, even though it's already past us. The meanings behind it connect amazingly with the Mabon season, which we are still in. So with the solar eclipse amplifying the energy, changes and insights may come quickly and sometimes unexpectedly during this time. This is a moment to get clear on patterns that need to shift and also to be open to new perspectives or opportunities of growth for yourself. Virgo's influence also encourages us to pay attention to our body, our mind, and our daily routines, making this a great time for gentle detoxes, wellness rituals, and just overall self-reflection. So some ways that we can work with this energy is just to set clear, grounded intentions, maybe write down what you want to grow, improve, or release. And using herbs like lavender, rosemary, or mint are great for purification and clarity. You can also do a small divination or journey session and just ask yourself, what patterns am I ready to release, or what small daily practice can I use to help me thrive? You can cleanse your space in your body by smudging, herbal bath. You can maybe do a simmer pot in your house, or just some gentle movement like yoga or stretching. And finally, considering acts of service. Because this is a Virgo energy, they love helping others, so even small gestures of kindness can align beautifully with this energy. And like I said before, even though the new moon energy is already past, the Mabon energy is still very much here, and a lot of this Virgo new moon energy aligns perfectly with Mabon's energy, so you can still do a lot of these practices up until we get to Samhain in the next month. So just to bring in this energy, I wanted to do a oracle card pull. I'm using a new deck. It's called The Rose Oracle by Rebecca Campbell. And I just kind of want to make it a general reading of what can be released to kind of work on that releasing energy that was in the new moon, but also with Mavon. So what card I pulled is Brothers of the Rose. It is a beautiful picture. It's almost like two men on either side with a pregnant woman in the middle, with their hands together and their head down over a beautiful body of water and roses throughout the scene. So Brothers of Rose just talks to sacred masculinity, honor, protection, and overall support. So when I look at this card, it looks like a very protecting card, like you're looking for protection within this time, which when we're releasing something, protection is incredibly important. So this card is of the sacred masculine, like the feminine. The sacred masculine exists within each one of us, and together we're being called to balance both energies within us, the sun and the moon, solar and lunar. Perhaps this is what it means to birth a new world. The sacred mature masculine is something so needed in our world. It's part of us that lives in deep honor and reverence of the feminine. It recognizes the goddess within all life, including the earth, and is committed to protecting and living in devotion to the feminine. This card could be a sign that you're being called to work on the sacred masculine energy within you that's maturing and rising. It could be that you're being called to do some ancestral healing of the paternal line, and it could also indicate that you're being called to invoke or acknowledge the sacred masculine and those around you. So the question that goes along with this is just, how are you being called to work with the sacred masculine? So when in regards to releasing, this card could mean that we need a little bit more protecting from that masculine energy, but also maybe we need to release some of our feminine energy to allow the masculine energy to come in and play a stronger role in our lives if we don't have that perfect balance going on right now, which is also a beautiful meaning for Mavon, because Mavon is all about release, but also bringing balance within yourself. So I think that ties in perfectly with the old new moon energy that we just have went through and the Mavon energy we are still in. So with that being said, let's now dive in a little deeper into the real context for today with how do we make routines in rituals actually stick in our daily lives. I think first we need to just understand the difference between the two, which is that routines are a sequence of actions performed out of habit or necessity. They're often mindlessly. They're the routines that we do in and out of our daily lives. So this is brushing your teeth, taking a shower, getting your things ready for work. It's the routines that you do every single day that you don't think about. Which rituals are routines, but the difference between rituals is that they're infused with meaning, purpose, and intention, which creates a deeper emotional connection and enjoyment for the person performing them. Rituals provide stability. Routines provide stability and efficiency, whereas rituals then foster a sense of sacredness, connection, and personal well-being. So it's very important that we have both routines and rituals because they both play a very important part. And you can transform a routine into a ritual by just adding a layer of meaning, intention, and emotion into the action that you're doing to create that connection with it. For instance, instead of just making your morning coffee, which I've mentioned many times, which is a routine for most people who wake up in the morning, you can turn it into a ritual by savoring the aroma and tasting it mindfully, giving it a sacred feeling that provides personal nourishment and enjoyment. So just taking a second to really savor the coffee has made that routine into a ritual. The first step that I took to adding more magic into my day was with my coffee, because it did seem like one of the easier things to do. I read about it in a book called My Morning Rituals, and that was something that I thought I could easily add into my day. And then on top of that, I started taking 1 to 2 minutes to call and thank each element in the morning. Before I started doing this, I would wake up, sit up in my bed. Sometimes I would go to the couch, turn the TV on, and just sit there for like 5 minutes before I had the energy to actually get up and make my coffee. I decided that I could take 1 to 2 minutes to call out to each element and allow myself to make that connection rather than just mindlessly watching TV. And I took that time to do something meaningful, to add magic, and just to take a second to call out in my mind most of the time to each element, asking it to walk with me on that day and thanking it to be with me. And it was something simple. And that is all I had time for at the moment, was just to think of each element and call out to them. But that small little moment that I did turned into what I now do most mornings. That simple routine of me just sitting up in bed or going and watching TV for 5 minutes turned into a small ritual, which shifted into me going into my sacred space, lighting a candle for each element, calling to each one, doing a meditation, doing an oracle card pull. And so something as small as savoring my coffee and calling to each element, which took me 2 minutes, has turned into a routine that I now do for 5 to 10 minutes in the morning. So why does this all matter? Well, rituals and routines actually mean a lot for our daily life. And I mean this more than just they're nice to do. This is the heart of why I personally keep coming back to them, even on the busiest and most chaotic days. Even when I'm not feeling the best, I still do part of my ritual because it is a part of my routine now. And this is firstly because there's a spiritual side to it. Rituals are our way of stepping into sacred time. We light a candle, offer prayer, or even just take a few minutes of intentional breaths. We're taking a pause. We're separating ourselves from the rush of the to-do list and the noise of the world, and reminding ourselves that life is bigger than deadlines, dishes, or whatever task that is screaming at us in the moment. There is so much more to life than the mundane tasks that we need to do day in and day out. And I like to think of it like this. Every ritual is a thread that connects me back to the universe, to the cycles of the moon, to the turning of the seasons, to the divine, or even just to my own inner guidance and higher self. When I light a candle in the morning, I feel like I'm getting a chance to step into that rhythm, and it helps me ground, and it helps me connect back to the sacred and listen to my higher self on a different level. Then on top of like the spiritual side, there's also the psychological importance of routines and rituals and predictability, because our brain craves patterns. Our brain likes things that are predictable. That's why when we went to school, we tended to sit in the exact same seat in the classroom day in and day out. And if someone took it, they took our seat. And when a teacher made us change seats, sometimes it worried us. It scared us. We didn't always like it because we like the predictability of having our seat. That was part of our routine. That's why routines help us feel calm. Even when everything else is chaotic, a small ritual that we put into a routine, like a short morning meditation or pulling a tarot card, creates that tiny island of order in a day. That little tiny routine that we had brings us peace. And as a parent, bedtime routines are everything. And even as an adult, most of us have bedtime routines to get us settled. And when you're working with your children, we tell them that it's time to sleep because their body needs to understand that it's sleep time. We need to get them prepared for sleep. You might say, okay, it's time to brush your teeth. Now we're going to read a book and we're going to brush your hair and then we're going to tuck you in and say goodnight. And then their body starts to prepare because that routine signals them it's time for bed. And the same principles work for adults. When you turn off your phone, when you lay a candle, when you do some deep breaths, or you wash your face, you're signaling your mind and your body that it's time to slow down. You can take those same aspects of lighting a candle and taking deep breaths in any moment of the day, and your brain will still signal it's time to slow down. And that consistency is what makes rituals so powerful. You can take parts of routines in your day and put them in other places to make rituals, and you'll still have your brain take those same concepts of, oh, it's time to take a breath. It's time to slow down. It's time to quiet our minds. And even though it's not your bedtime routine, it's in the middle of the day, that still will work because you're taking those aspects out of it. So then lastly, we talk about kind of putting together the emotional side and the magical side, because to me, both of those really tie closely together. But first, we're going to talk the emotional side. Rituals give us the permission to feel, which in everyday life, sometimes we're not able to. We're able to honor grief, joy, hope, or fear, and everything in between, and they become anchors in our emotions. Even small repeated actions can carry meaning. Think about the smell of an incense or a deck of tarot cards you love, or something like your favorite mug that you always use in the morning. Those little things carry comfort, memory, and stability. And I recently read in the third book of The Temple of Witchcraft that emotions and allowing yourself to feel it is something that shamans practice to kind of connect to a different level, like the second attention, where they just allow themselves to feel that emotion. If they want to cry, they're going to cry. If they want to scream, they're going to scream. And that is a meditative connection to the emotions, which ties into your magical side and that spiritual practice. You're allowing yourself to feel those emotions, which is so powerful, which ties into then the magical side, because emotions are very magical. The reason many of us are drawn to these practices in the first place is the magic. In witchcraft, repeated intentional actions build energy and focus. We talk about building that cone of energy, and that's what repeated intentions do. We tend to repeat things in threes when you're in ritual to raise that power. Well, the same aspect is with your rituals at home or your routines at home. The more you repeat them, the stronger and the more energy they will have. So each time we perform a ritual, we're carrying a pathway for energy to flow. It's why repeated rituals feel stronger over time, why magic works better when it's consistent. And here's the most beautiful part. When we do rituals with intention, we transform ordinary acts into magic. So making tea, cleaning a counter, or even walking to the car, all of it can carry intention and energy and be innately magical. So finally, the real beauty comes when we bridge the mundane with the magical. Daily routines keep us grounded, and they are very important to have. And rituals layer meaning on top of that. So together, they allow us to live both worlds, the sacred and the ordinary. And the balance is crucial because it does prevent burnout. Magic isn't just something we do on big occasions or special Sabbaths. It's what we weave quietly through our everyday lives. And here's a little thing I want you to think about and just process throughout this podcast or throughout your day. What is one daily action that you're already doing? It could be making tea, making coffee, brushing your hair, walking to your car, packing your lunch. How can you add intention to one of those actions so that it becomes both routine and ritual? And even if it takes 30 seconds, see how it can shift your energy for the entire day. Take one thing you're doing that you don't have intention already into it and put intention into it and see if you allow magic into your day, if your energy shifts, if your day is a little bit different, and experiment with that. That's the magic of why rituals and routines matter. They aren't about doing more. They're about showing up for yourself consistently with intention, presence, and heart, and being there for yourself when things are a little bit too chaotic. So what I want to talk about now is just both daily routines and weekly routines, because sometimes daily routines just are too much. Some people won't be able to do a daily routine. They might need to start with a weekly routine, and that's perfectly fine. So it's important to kind of look at both sides. If daily is too much for you to start, then start weekly. You can even start monthly if that's how your schedule is kind of best suited for you. But daily routines are the very small, consistent acts that do set the tone for your day or help you choose what to do, how you're going to follow intention for the day, or even how to close your day out. So some of the things that I've learned throughout my practice that I want to share is just starting off with morning grounding or breath work. And this can also be nightly grounding or breath work. And for me, this is just simply sitting on my couch with my coffee. Sometimes it's me sitting on my meditation pillow and just taking 3 deep breaths and feeling my feet on the earth and allowing my roots to ground down. And that small pause before the day really begins or as the day ends just helps me center myself. It prepares me to start my day, and it also prepares me to close out my day. Another thing that I've found to be very strong in my daily routines is pulling a tarot or an oracle card. Typically, it's an oracle card for me because that's what I am pulled closer to. But it's typically just one card for the day, and it gives me a moment of reflection. It gives me a moment to kind of see where my day is heading, see what I need to know. Sometimes if I've had an extra difficult day, I'll pull a tarot card before I go to bed to help me understand what I need to process, what I need to let go of, or if I had a more specific question, maybe I tailor it more to that. And it's not about predicting your future. It's just about checking in with yourself and your energy. Oracle cards and tarot cards don't have to be specific questions. It can easily just be, what energy do I need to know? What do I need to pay attention to? And then sometimes I try to do a quick journaling about it or about my thoughts. Other times I just don't get around to that, or I'm just too tired to. But I do take a moment or two to process through what I think the card means for me that day and what lessons I can really take away from it. Another thing that I found to be very strong for me is just candlelighting or intention setting. It doesn't need to be a fancy ritual. Just lighting a candle and thinking about what you want to bring into your day or what you want to release can be incredibly grounding. I sometimes whisper a short affirmation like, may today bring clarity and calm, and that tiny moment sets my intention. Some mornings, it is purely me just lighting my red candle and calling to the element of fire and asking it to bring me creativity, passion, and joy. And even that small act of lighting my fire element candle helps bring me grounding and helps me set my intention for the day. Like I've talked about in many of the podcasts so far, is blessing my coffee or your tea if you're not a coffee drinker. And it's something I do every single morning. I'm even recording this podcast with my coffee next to me. And that's because I'm usually holding a cup in the morning anyway. I do always make my coffee. It's something that I do as a routine. So stirring my coffee clockwise and focusing on energy, or simply saying a short blessing, sometimes adding cinnamon for protection, just transforms the ordinary cup that I would have already had into a mindful act. And that is the simplest thing I was able to start with because it was the easiest no-brainer for me because I already had coffee in my hand. And then the last one is just trying to journal or have a gratitude practice. And this is something I need to get better with, but even 5 minutes is enough. Writing down one thing you're grateful for or one intention that you have or just how you're feeling helps anchor your energy and keeps you aligned with your path. I don't use a traditional journal. I have a little app called Finch on my phone that I have a section for to just reflect on my day. And that's typically where I put my thing that I'm grateful for or my intention or just something that I processed through the day that was difficult. And it really only takes me about 1 to 2 minutes to do. And it's something that I'm slowly adding to my day that I'm hoping will become easier for me to do to get up to that 5 minutes, because that's where I would like to be able to journal more. It's just something that is difficult for me personally. But even on my busiest days, when my toddler is tucking up my pants, or I'm just too tired to get moving, or like this week, I'm just too sick and I can't find the motivation, or my body's just telling me I need to rest, I still try to find at least one of these daily rituals to do. And even if it's just one, it does make a huge difference. This week, it's mainly just been me taking deep breaths and trying to ground myself because this week has been difficult for me. And there are times where I have even taken my daughter in my sacred space with me to light a candle or pull an oracle card, which she's surprisingly pretty good at. We call her a little like oracle master with how she pulls cards. Whenever she does, it seems spot on. But it's important to not let the daily chaos take away from what brings you peace. If it brings you peace, try and fit it in your day. Don't push it to the wayside because it's not as important as getting dinner on the table or getting the dishes done or the laundry's clean. Because if it brings you peace, that's going to make everything else that you need to do in your day so much easier. So now if daily routines are a little too much for you, we also have weekly routines that might be a better start for some people. And this just gives us a chance to kind of step back and refresh our energy more intentionally. So this could be a simple moon phase check-in where you keep it simple. And on the new moon, you set intentions. On the full moon, you release no longer what serves you. And so this practice can help just tie your energy into natural cycles and just remind you that growth and release are ongoing processes. So it can just be a simple, on new moon you do this, on full moon you do this, and it's a 5-minute practice that you do and then you move on. And that can be a weekly routine. Now, full moon, new moons won't necessarily be every week, but you can also slowly add waxing and waning moons in with that as well. You can also cleanse your space weekly with either incense, sage, or even sound if you're not able to have the incense burning. Clearing energy weekly can make your home feel lighter and your mind calmer. I like to try doing this on a Sunday before the week starts, but any day of the week really works for you. If your week starts on a Wednesday, then you can do cleansing your space on a Wednesday. Make it fit your routine. You can also do a quick altar refresh or even seasonal decoration if weekly altar refreshes are a bit too much. You don't need an elaborate altar. Even just moving your crystals around, adding fresh flowers if you use them, or lighting a new candle counts as refreshing your altar. You can take everything off and dust it off once a week because dust adds up. But changing it weekly just reminds you that your practice is living and evolving. And even if you only do it with the Sabbath changes, it still has that same effect. You're living and evolving with the turning of the wheel. Another simple thing you can do weekly is trying to go on nature walks or time outdoors. If you have a family and young children, this is something you can easily do with them. Just walking in nature can be its own ritual. If you can be out in nature, try and notice the elements, the wind, the sun, the smell of the earth, and take a moment to reflect or set an intention. And if you have kids, try and teach them how to take a moment to reflect as well, how to notice the little things around them when they're out in nature. It can be really strong and powerful for them as well. And then just reflection journaling. Again, you can take, if you're bad at journaling like I am, maybe one day a week to just write down a review of your week, your growth, the challenges you had, and some things that you are proud of. And this can also be grounding and magical because it turns reflection into ritual. You are turning that journaling session into a ritual to really connect into that reflection and that grounding energy as you reflect back on your week. So one thing I love about weekly rituals is that it does allow me to look back and notice growth that I may have missed in the daily hustle, because it is very easy to not recognize what you are doing. Even just 5 minutes a week can feel transformative. And sometimes it might look like I did next to nothing that week. Like this week, I've done almost nothing because chaos of life took over. And it's important to also know that that's transformative because you got through it. And you got through it. And you may have also been able to put some magic within it as well. And recognizing that not every week is going to be magical holds a strong meaning behind it. It allows you to grow, to see things differently, and appreciate what you did do in that week. And when you start looking at each week this way, you might be able to find bits of magic in your days where you didn't think there was any at all. So the key here is that rituals don't have to be complicated. They don't have to be about you doing more. They're not about you creating this elaborate ritual for something. They're about creating moments of presence. And some days my daily ritual is simply lighting a candle and taking 3 deep breaths. Some weeks I'll do a full moon reflection or an altar refresh, but both are meaningful because they're consistent and intentional. The intention you put behind your actions speaks louder than the actions you might create in a ritual itself. So think about your own life. Think about what small actions could you turn into a ritual. Maybe it's brushing your teeth with intention or taking 5-minute walk outside. The magic is showing up consistently. The magic is already there and it never left. It's up to us to find the magic and let it out, to find our path and start following it unapologetically. So we've talked a lot about why rituals matter and some examples of daily and weekly rituals. But if we're being honest with ourselves, showing up consistently isn't easy. Even the most devoted witches face challenges, and that's completely normal. Life is hard, and we have to pick and choose some days with what takes importance, and time is limited. So let's make a point to understand and recognize the daily challenges of life that can be thrown at us and know that it's okay to get overwhelmed and decide that it's not okay. I think one of the biggest common challenges is just time restraints because life is busy. We have work, we have family, we have errands, and sometimes it feels impossible to squeeze in a ritual. There are many days where I wake up and I do my morning workout and I finally sit down to eat breakfast and I tell myself that I just don't want to get up and do my ritual. And on those days, I do respect that thought. And some days that it is just too much for me to do a meditation and call the elements and do a card pull. And on those days, I just don't. And that's okay, because what I do make happen is that I take a moment to breathe. I ground myself. I tell myself at least one affirmation. And then I finish getting ready for work. And when I get to work, I try and pull a card at my desk. I still get parts of my ritual in, but not everything. And sometimes that's okay, because sometimes life is just a lot. And we need to be understanding of that. It's also easy to forget and just be inconsistent. It's easy to get off track. A missed day doesn't mean failure. It just means that life happened. There are weeks where I do not do anything with my ritual. I take vacations with my family and the intent is there to continue, but I just don't because I forget or I get busy and it's not as important during that time as it is when I'm at home. And a missed day or a week doesn't mean I do not care. And when I first started this journey, I thought it did. And I thought I was offending the god or the goddess. But I realize I'm not. Your practice will wax and wane, and that's okay. Just remember that when life settles down or you're ready to start again, you will, because the path will call you back and your higher self is watching out for you. Another thing is that you might feel self-conscious or that you're not doing it right. For many witches, struggle with imposter syndrome or feeling like the rituals aren't valid or magical enough is a really big thing. I struggled with it for many years, and sometimes I still struggle with being self-conscious if I think my husband is listening in on me. And it's not right or wrong to feel that way. It's just something you need to understand, respect, and work through, because there's no right or wrong way to ritualize. Your intention is what matters the most. So however you do it is perfectly correct for you. So don't go off of what someone tells you is valid or not valid, because if your intention is there, it's valid. And then lastly, just comparing yourself to others. Social media, like we know, can be an amazing thing, but also a very negative thing. Because rituals can look elaborate and perfect, and we can compare ourselves. I've seen photos of huge altar setups and intricate ceremonies, and for a while I thought mine wasn't enough, and it wasn't ever going to be enough. But the beauty of a ritual is that it's personal, and it's for you, so make it for you. Even if it doesn't look like what everyone else has, it's yours, and that's the best part about it. So how can we kind of combat these challenges? Well, first off, we can keep it short and simple. A single candle, a card pull, or short affirmation can count as a ritual. Consistency beats complexity. So if you make it simple but consistent, it will slowly become more complex over time. You can also anchor rituals in just your existing routines, like we've talked about this entire podcast, attached to the things that you're already doing daily. Your coffee, tea, brushing your teeth, walking to work, anything can become a ritual with intention. So just keep that in mind. If you have a routine and you want to bring more magic into your day, experiment with putting some intention into it and see if it does something for you. It may or it may not, and both are fine, but experiment with it. Also allow flexibility with life's changes. Rituals should evolve, just like life is going to be changing every day. Some weeks, my rituals are 5 minutes. Other weeks, it's 20. Both are valid and both work. Some weeks, I do not have time for a single thing because parenting gets in the way and work gets in the way. But then other weeks, I do 3 to 4 rituals. And it's important to just be flexible and forgiving with yourself, because oftentimes we are so forgiving for everyone else around us, but we're never forgiving with ourselves. And we need to be more forgiving of the time that we have and the things that we do. And then lastly, just start small and layer slowly. Pick one daily or one weekly routine to start. And once it feels natural, layer on another. Think of rituals like seeds. Water one seed consistently, and it will grow. But when you try to water 20 seeds at once, you usually become overwhelmed and then none of them grow. So start slow. The main thing I want you to take away from this is just showing up consistently is more important than perfection. Even tiny rituals done with intention are powerful. Don't get discouraged by missing a day or by comparing yourself to others. Your practice is yours alone. Let it be kind, flexible, and meaningful. So for today, we are just going to share a short practice that I'm hoping you can maybe incorporate into your daily life. It's meant to be something to help ground you in this moment, but more importantly, be around a 5-minute routine that you can add into the beginning of the day or the end of the day to help ground you. So feel free to walk through this practice as I go through it, or just jot some things down so you can use it later on. Either one is perfectly fine. So to start off, we are going to center ourselves. We are going to sit comfortably, or you can stand with your feet on the floor. I want you to close your eyes if you feel comfortable in doing so. And take 3 slow, deep breaths. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. As you breathe, notice your body, your surroundings, and the present moment. Imagine with each exhale, you release tension. And with each inhale, you bring in calm, focus, and energy. Now imagine a small flame in your mind's eye, warm, steady, and glowing. Focus on that flame and take another deep breath. And set an intention for today or for this week. Something simple, like I will find calm in chaos. I honor my growth. I show up for my practice. See that intention as a light flowing out from the flame and into your day. Feel your feet on the ground and your hands resting in your lap or beside your legs. Notice any sounds around you. The temperature of the air, the rhythm of your breath. This helps bring the sacred awareness into your everyday experience. Now take one final deep breath and open your eyes. Imagine the flame gently fading, but the energy of your intention staying with you, and bring it into your heart center. Now jot down a word or a short phrase in a journal to remember this ritual. I'm hoping that if you did this with me, you feel a bit more grounded, that you have an intention to carry along with your day. And just understand that even if it only takes 3 minutes, that moment is powerful because you've paused, you've connected, and you set an intention. And that's the magic of small rituals. Rituals don't have to be big. They can just be small and stick. Magic is always there. It's always present, and it's always ready to be called upon. Do not be afraid to start small and do it day by day, month by month, or even year by year. I would love to hear what rituals you already do in your day and how you invite magic in. Feel free to share with me on Instagram or email me at esage94@outlook.com. I want to thank you for joining me on Cradles and Candles. I hope today's episode inspired you to find a little magic in your everyday life. And remember, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, curious, learning, or fully immersed, you're not alone. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing it with someone who might need a little magic today. You can also follow me on Instagram at Cradles and Candles or at TikTok at Cradles and Candles for more guidance, inspiration, and community. Until next time, keep your candle lit, your heart open, and the magic alive.